हृदय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरी वरधारी जय गिरी वरधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरी वरधारी जय गिरी वरधारी जय यशोदा नंदन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय यमुना तीरावन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय यमुना तीरावन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकचारष्टोदरक्ष श्रीमद His divine grace Srila Bhaicharan Arvind Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki ISKCON Vibhuti Sansthapaka Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtodaraksi Srimad His divine grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की नवदीप मायापुर धाम की गंगा मई जमुना माई की भक्त देवी तुलसी महारानी की कलयुग पावन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की Srila Prabhupada Transal Book Distribution ki. Thai Gau Premanande. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंध्रस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नितानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 19। तदा स्व प्रभया तेषां द्योतयन्त्या दिशो दश मुष्णंस तेज उपानीतस तार्क्ष्येन स्तोत्र वाजिना। तदा स्वप्रभया तेषां द्योतयन्त्यादिशो दश मुष्णंस तेज उपानीतस तार्क्ष्येन स्तोत्र वाजिना। तदा स्वप्रभया तेषां द्योतयन्त्यादिशो दश मुष्णंस तेज उपानीतस तार्क्षेण स्तोत्रवाजिना। तदा स्वप्रभया तेषां द्योतयन्त्यादिशो दश मुष्णंस तेज उपानीतस तार्क्षेण स्तोत्रवाजिना। मताजिस एट दैट टाइम स्वप्रभया बाय हिज ओन इफल्जेंस तेषाम ऑल ऑफ देम द्योतयन्त्या बाय ब्राइटनेस दिशः डायरेक्शंस दश टेन मुष्णन डिमिनिशिंग तेजः इफल्जेंस पानीत ब्रॉट तार्क्षेन बाय गुरुड Stotravajina, whose wings are called Brihat and Rathantara. Translation: Lord Narayan was seated on the shoulder of Stotra or Garuda, who had big wings. As soon as the Lord appeared, all directions were illuminated, diminishing the luster of Brahma and others present. A description of Narayana is given in the following two shlokas. So, this particular section is describing about the sacrifice performed by Daksha, and overall in the last few months you have been discussing about this episode of what will be the consequences of performing devotional service in the mode of ignorance. So interestingly, when we speak of bhakti, we think bhakti is always transcendental. But in the third canto, Lord Kapila describes bhakti in the mode of goodness, bhakti in the mode of passion, and bhakti in the mode of ignorance. So the fourth canto has the beginning section, devotional service in the mode of ignorance. One can be practicing bhakti, but in the mode of ignorance, where inspired by feelings of hatred, envy, and violence towards others, one is still a devotee. So he is not to be considered a demon, but he is a devotee. But he is still under the influence of the mode of ignorance. And the example is Daksha. Then the next pastime which comes in fourth canto is example of bhakti in the mode of passion, where one is inspired by desires to supersede and compete, but not by harming others, but by one's own efforts. And that bhakti in the mode of passion is Dhruva. And then the third is bhakti in the mode of goodness, where one may be influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance, but still one is open to listen to superior advice and authority. So that is Prithu Maharaj, where he is getting into a conflict with Indra. Both are incarnations of the Lord. They are having a very significant difference of opinion. Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagwan ki. And they are really fighting. They are in conflict. They are absorbed in the conflict. Both are Kshatriyas, absorbed in conflict. They want to kill each other, defeat each other. Yajna is performed where Indra is being about to be thrown into the fire. And when the anger has reached its peak, that is the time when Brahma comes in. So when the influence of mode of passion and ignorance is very high, it is very difficult to put a brake on it. So Brahma comes. So that is the difference between Brahma, you know, being in the assembly of Daksha, and Brahma being in the presence of Prithu. That one acknowledges the presence of superior authorities and wise counsel as against ignoring that. So the circumstances available for Daksha and Prithu, both were similar. But Daksha chose to kick the presence of superior authorities and souls who are more wise and experienced in the form of ignoring the presence of Brahma. And in fact, in one of the verses, he does not even call Brahma as Brahma, but he says Parameshthi, the creator. I don't know why the creator gave me advice to organize. So he blames Brahma for making this match. That why did Brahma suggest, you know, that I marry my daughter to the Shiva? So he blames Brahma for even organizing this marriage. And so Prabhupada writes in the purport that when one is influenced by the mode of ignorance and one is filled with anger, one does not even recognize relationship, which shows that the most dear thing to the soul is not father, mother, husband, wife, children. The most dear associate of every soul is his ego. And therefore people spend crores of rupees in a marriage, and then after a few years of marriage, family members of both sides spend crores of rupees to break that marriage. It is quite funny how it happens. Why? Because the ego is superior to everything else. So therefore, the power of the false ego is seen in the form of Daksha Prajapati. And there in Prithu Maharaj's case, Brahma comes and explains to him that what has been done by providence should be forgiven, should be forgotten. Otherwise, the more you try to counteract it, the more you will be influenced by those modes. So therefore, it is the will of the Lord, and therefore do not to fight against the will of the Lord. You are attached to destroying Indra, to defeat Indra. You are attached to completing your yajna. Yes, you are a very organized person, and organized people like to complete things. That is a normal protocol. There is a sense of satisfaction in completing an activity which has begun. Those who are responsible do not like to leave tasks unfinished. So therefore, you have already completed 99, and therefore if you complete one more, then your task will be completed and you will achieve the results of what you set out to achieve in the first place. And therefore, in normal circumstances, that sense of completion would be defined as successful. The parameter of success normally is you complete your planned target. If you have a target, you complete that target and achieve that target, it is considered success. Normally, that would be considered all right. But here, the person entangled in these circumstances with you is not normal. He is abnormal. He is Indra, who is in a hyper mode. And he is also not ordinary person. He is also a devotee of the Lord. And therefore, the normal course of action would not work. And so, the typical idea of a conflict between a devotee and a demoniac force, the laws involved there are different vis-a-vis when there is a conflict between a devotee and a devotee. And therefore, typically, best practices which are brought into play in order to achieve success in a conflict, those best practices may not always be applicable when it comes to a conflict between devotee and a devotee. And therefore, the sutras and the principles given in Mahabharata apply to how the Pandavas defeat the Kauravas, who are against Krishna, who are envious of Krishna. But those principles may not always apply when there is a conflict between a devotee, Prithu Maharaj, who is an incarnation, versus Indra, who is also an incarnation. So therefore, it's a totally different paradigm. And so, finally, Brahmaji tells Prithu Maharaj that you have to make a choice. What do you want to achieve? Do you want to achieve the kingdom of heaven, or you want to achieve the kingdom of the spiritual world? If you want to enter heaven, then you proceed and kill Indra. If you want to enter Krishna's heart, then you have to bend your head down and accept the defeat that, yes, I will not proceed ahead with this conflict. So therefore, when to have conflict and when to have compromise, that is being described here in this fourth canto idea. And when Prithu Maharaj is able to understand the language of compromise, then actually he is able to come closer to the Lord and appreciate the Lord. And this is a symptom of the mode of goodness, bhakti in the mode of goodness, where in spite of the most provocative situation, in spite of being all intelligent and all powerful, still one is willing to hear the sound vibration coming from a higher source. One may be all powerful, but still one acknowledges the power of sound coming from a higher source. When one is not able to acknowledge that sound coming from higher source, that is the difference between mode of goodness and mode of ignorance and demoniac tendencies. And therefore, we find that Daksha would not hear any advice coming from a higher source, although he is a devotee. And Ravana would not hear any advice coming from a higher source. He is totally a demon. And therefore, that makes the difference between all of these different categories. And so, Purusha yadi muhyanti tvadrasha dev maya shrama eva param jato prudhya dirgha sevaya. That Lord Vishnu tells Prithu, what is the point of doing all so much of devotional credits and everything if you are not able to restrain yourself and control yourself in this situation? Shrama eva param jato vriddhaya dirgha sevaya. So therefore, Prithu Maharaj agrees to leave his task unfinished. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Parityajya. So one may have certain work ethics, one may have certain ideas of how I do an activity when I do it. It is organized, it is systematic, it is completed, it is never left unfinished. But when Brahma comes and tells him that the higher dharma is for you to abandon this activity. So abandonment normally would mean irresponsibility and failure. But when Brahmaji comes and instructs him, abandon this 100th horse sacrifice, abandon your attack on Indra. So now 18.66 is into action. Now that is a test of Prithu Maharaj. And then he says, okay, I will abandon it. When he abandons it, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. When he abandons that, then he actually advances further in the dharma of bhakti. Like that. So therefore, this is a very important principle that the choice is only two. Either bow the head down or get the head cut. So that is the difference between Prithu and Daksha. Prithu bowed his head down. He became glorious in the world, in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Daksha would not bend his head down. He got his head cut and then replaced by goat head. So either there is Godhead or there is goat head. No other way. So that is the choice. So the entire fourth canto from beginning begins with Daksha, ends with Prithu. It is a journey. Fourth canto journey is from goat head to Godhead. That is a summary of the fourth canto. How do you want to process your journey? And therefore, at least Daksha had only one head, Ravana had 10. So the ability to understand was 10 times more, supposedly. But then after kidnapping Sita, Marich is telling him, because as soon as Ravana comes, you know, he says that I want to kidnap Sita. That is his original plan. So when Surpanaka is in difficulty, she runs to Ravana and tells Ravana that this is how beautiful Sita is. So basically Ravana is his own world and has hundreds and thousands of queens and women in his palace. He is not at all concerned with Ram and Sita and anything. He is in his own world. But Surpanakha goes and she agitates him by describing the entire beauty of Sita. And after describing the beauty, she does two things. She describes the beauty of Sita and then tells Ravana, how come you do not have such a beautiful Sita with you? So provokes Ravana. So therefore Chaitanya Charan Prabhu calls this Surpanakha as the original internet, who brings ideas of different places and presents to you and says, why don't you have this? And then Ravana gets agitated. And Ravana comes to Marich. And then when Marich hears Ravana's plan that he wants to kidnap Sita and have a conflict with Lord Ram, so Marich is very much against this. And he says, do you know the power of Lord Ram? He says, when Ram was just traveling in the forest with Vishwamitra Muni, along with Lakshman, so we were attacking all the different sages. And at that time, the sages took shelter of Lord Ram. And Lord Ram shot an arrow. And that arrow threw me thousands of miles into the ocean. And then another time in Dandakaranya, when we were trying to attack Lord Ram turned around and he saw me along with my other colleague. And as soon as I saw Ram, I turned around and started running away. But my colleague was destroyed because he did not understand the power of Lord Ram's arrow. And that experience of running away from Lord Ram and hiding in this forest, it has not been easy, because it is not that in the forest I have been peaceful. Every moment I am only afraid of one thing. From behind the tree, Ram will show his arrow. So even when I am moving in this forest, I am constantly in anxiety about Ram coming and attacking me. And I am in so much of stress that anyone uses any word beginning with the word Ra, I start thinking it is Ram. They may say Rath, but I may think it is Ram, and then I start trembling. So therefore, I have become completely Ram conscious in a negative way. So therefore, I do not think that you have any idea how powerful Ram is. Prasida Lankeshwara Rakshasendra Lankam Prayachya Bhavasadugacha Tvamasveshu Dareshu Ramasvanityam Ramasabharyam Ramatam Vaneshu. He says, you be happy with your wives, Prasida. You are Lankeshwar, you are the king of all the Rakshasas. Lankam Prayachya, go to Lanka. Bhava Sadhu Gacha, and be healthy and happy. Maintain all your limbs intact. If you have a desire to maintain your limbs intact, you must please go to your kingdom back. Tvam Sveshu Dareshu Ramastu Nityam, and be happy with your own queens. And let Ram be happy with his wife. Rama Subharyam Ramatam Vaneshu. Why you are agitating Lord Ram unnecessarily, getting in trouble, and most importantly, putting me in trouble? Because I have such an experience, and you are telling me, become a golden deer and do this and do that. I have no desire to do this. So Ravana becomes very agitated, and Ravana starts chastising Marich, saying that I did not come here to take advice from you. I came here to instruct you. So you better stop giving me advice. And you please start preparing, because I don't think you know the choices. The only choice you have is either you get killed at the hands of Ram, and if you refuse to go, I will kill you right now. So pick up your choice. So Marich did not have too much of choice. Apparently, Ravana gave him a multiple choice question. But the choices were such that ultimately he said better to die at the hands of Ram. And so Marich decided to do the role of being a golden deer. And so it is described that as long as Sita was totally focused on the service to Lord Ram, everything was all right. So Sita is compared by the Acharyas also to the condition of a jiva. When the jiva becomes distracted from the service to the Lord and starts aspiring for other opportunities which are separate from the seva to the Lord, that is the beginning of the misfortune for the jiva. So Sita is the goddess of fortune. So Ramayana is trying to describe that the greatest friend of every person in this creation is absorption. And the greatest enemy, the deadliest enemy all of us have, deadlier than the deadliest cobra serpent, is distraction. And therefore, the entire Ramayana is describing the cost one has to pay for distraction. Everything begins with distraction. The cost of distraction is calculated in terms of the number of soldiers killed, the amount of destruction created in Lanka, the number of monkey soldiers killed. All of that adds up to the cost of not destruction, but distraction. Because everything began with Sita's distraction. So there are opportunities for distraction in this world. Every sense object potentially exists to distract us. If we become distracted and look at that object as separate from service to the Lord, then we actually become very much subjected to implication. So therefore, Sita's all problems began from distraction. And so Prabhupada, you know, he was on a morning walk. And Prabhupada looked at one, you know, beautiful garden and he said, such a beautiful garden. ISKCON devotees should have such a garden. And all the devotees said, yes, Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. Then they went ahead. Then Prabhupada saw a beautiful building. He said, beautiful building. ISKCON should have wonderful building like this for preaching Krishna causes. All the devotees, yes, Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. Prabhupada went ahead and there was a guy with 2-3 dogs. Prabhupada looked at the dog. Prabhupada said, we should have such a dog. Everyone said, Jai Prabhupada. Prabhupada turned and started chastising. Why we should have a dog? Of course, this was before GEV. So everyone got bewildered. And Prabhupada said, just don't answer without considering the consequences. Try to be absorbed in understanding what is the consequence of what you are doing, what you are speaking, how you are behaving. So distraction is the beginning of destruction. Right? Distraction is so powerful that goddess of fortune got swallowed by misfortune. How can goddess of fortune be in misfortune? That is what Ramayana is trying to teach. That even goddess of fortune who cannot be touched becomes engulfed by misfortune when she is distracted. And she started desiring that golden deer, that I should have that golden deer for me. Right? And That's basically the whole idea. That when our desires start changing, I want to be the enjoyer. And there is a tendency to enjoy which comes in. That is the beginning of all transformation. That is the beginning of all calamity. So therefore Bhagavatam says, Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta Drishta Josha Cha Nityasha Na Ishvarasya Ashubham Dhatte Sve Mahimni Sthitasya Cha. When one desires to enjoy and that enjoyment results in misery, then one wants to give it up. Drishta Dosha Cha Nityasha. Seeing the dosha or the fault in that. Na Ishvarasya Ashubham Dhatte. When the jiva realizes, I am not meant to enjoy, exploit, control material nature, then gradually, Sve Mahimni, then the jiva soul realizes his own power. That power is released by the principle of servitude and it is dissipated by the principle of enjoyership. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami is glorified by Nityananda Prabhu and he says, Krishna Pada Padma Ganda Jai Janapai Brahma Loka Adi Sukha Tare Nahi Bhai. He has smelled the fragrance of Lord Krishna. You cannot distract him by any pleasure, even of Brahma Loka. Right? And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Charane Chintiya Pata Chadi Yaya Pate Yayena Dhaiya. And he is therefore running, constantly absorbed in the thoughts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So renunciation is not a matter of clothes. Renunciation is not a matter of being in an organization. Renunciation is not a matter of social protocol. Renunciation is not a matter of externally being in a certain kind of physical infrastructure. The principle of renunciation begins with where is the mind absorbed? Anyera hrdayaman moraman brindavan mane vane ekakurijani. When the mind is totally absorbed in, number one, Krishna being the center, number two, service to Krishna being the priority. So these two are the symptoms of absorption. Is Krishna the center and is service to Krishna the center? Then one is in an absorbed state of consciousness. And that is the meaning of somebody who is renounced. That all other different streams of thought are not allowed by such a devotee to enter his consciousness. He is only moving in one direction. There is only one thought, how to please Krishna. That's all. And therefore, bhakshana apeksha nahi kshudha divasa gaman, kshudha nahi bade chaitanya charana prapti man. So therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami was an example of perfect renunciation. So renunciation basically means where is the thoughts, where is the mind, where are the desires. So therefore, bhakshana apeksha nahi, he was not concerned about where the food is going to come from. Samasta divasa gaman, entire day was spent. And he was running and running and running. Externally, nothing was being arranged for him. Kshudha nahi badhe, but there was no obstacle created by hunger. Why? Chaitanya charana praptye man. The mind was absorbed in what? I am here simply for one purpose, to obtain the wealth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. So, a materialist is concerned with gathering the wealth of money, property, sources for enjoyment. Therefore, they are called Griha Medhi. Whereas devotees are called Grihastha and Brahmachari, because both of them have renounced their desire to enjoy for their own pleasure. Both are renounced in completely being absorbed in how to attain Krishna, how to serve Krishna. And therefore Mahaprabhu tells Raghunath Das Goswami, Sthire hoya ghare yaho na hao batul, krame krame pailok bhavasindukul. Go home. In the right time, you will get the impetus to attain me. Krame krame pailok bhavasindukul. And so Raghunath Das Goswami and his character in the Chaitanya Charitamrita demonstrates what it means to be in the renounced order. So renounced order is all about where is your mind, where are your thoughts, where are your desires. And to the extent one is able to focus one's thoughts, one's mind, one's desires on trying to attain Krishna consistently, then one is able to be renounced. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a grihastha, perfectly renounced. Saraswati Thakur was a Naishtika Brahmachari, perfectly renounced. Srila Prabhupada as a grihastha was a perfectly renounced. Srila Prabhupada as a sannyasi was perfectly renounced. So renunciation is one of the opulences of Krishna, and the energy of renunciation of Krishna technically in Sanskrit is called tushti. Tushti means satisfaction. So ila and different types of shaktis are there of Krishna, 16 energies. So Shri, all of these are there, and this shakti of renunciation is called tushti. So tushti basically means satisfaction. One is satisfied pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna, and making facilities for Krishna's enjoyment. So that is basically what we see is the consistent example of all of our Vaishnava Acharyas. And that's what is described in the Mahaprabhu's pastimes also. That Chaitanya Charitamrita is demonstrating what it means to be in a state of absorption and not be affected by any sources of distraction. So what Sita went through, distraction, Mahaprabhu saw one associate go through that distraction. He finished him, Chota Haridas. So in our scriptures, distraction is dealt with ruthlessly. And therefore, we find that Mahaprabhu, who is Patita Pavan, became hard like a thunderbolt with Chota Haridas. And what was his sin? Did he enjoy sex with anybody? Did he steal anybody's property? No. He became distracted. Jai Shishinada Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki. He became distracted for how long? Few moments. And that also is not very clear when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You have to read through 2-3 times to figure out, are hua kya? Because by Kali Yuga standard, we are so gross and we are so fallen that we can't even figure out that there was some mistake which he made. But Mahaprabhu swoops down like a hawk and he removes Chota Haridas from that Sangha as a person who can potentially affect the association with his high levels of distraction. And then, you know, all the devotees are petitioning Mahaprabhu, Are, what did he do? No, he got distracted. And therefore, in Kali Yuga, when the normal state of being is distraction, we find it difficult to figure out what is going on. So therefore, Sita became distracted for one moment. Haridas, Chota Haridas became distracted for one moment. We find it hard to become absorbed for one moment. And so we are wondering, what is going on here in the scripture? And therefore, with all these different kinds of, you know, social media and internet and this and that and everything, what so many different invasions of different foreign powers have not done, we should know that we are being invaded in the way which the Shastras are warning is the most deadly enemy and the deadliest enemy we are carrying in our pocket. The potential source of distraction. And when that source of distraction opens up, everybody gets absorbed in samadhi, in the device. That is also another amazing thing, that it has the potential to completely absorb. And therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami's case is described that he managed to be renounced from all other engagements because he was constantly absorbed in his final goal, Chaitanya Charana Praptye Man. And therefore, when we allow all these different principles to distract us, we lose contact and touch with our purpose. Why are we here? Why are we here? We are here to be able to absorb ourselves in the journey to attain Krishna. That forgetfulness overwhelms us. And when we become forgetful, then enthusiasm goes away. And therefore, it's very important to realize that that level of absorption of the acharyas is given as a benchmark to try to attain. Of course, Srila Prabhupada has been very, very merciful in allowing us. Raghunath Das Goswami would drink a few drops of buttermilk once in 3 days. You know, and of course, in the purports, Prabhupada says, if you try to imitate, you'll be finished. So as far as facilities and everything is concerned, Prabhupada has organized his con in a way that everything can be nicely, you know, done. As far as physical comforts are concerned, we are not expected to be like that. But at the same time, all of these facilities are being arranged in a way that our mind is not disturbed by the lack of those facilities, so that the mind can be absorbed in the same subject matter in which Raghunath Das Goswami was absorbed. So that we should not forget. Radhanath Maharaj gave a brilliant talk to the Brahmacharis on Raghunath Das Goswami in the ashram at Chowpatty. And then, you know, he had his dinner. And then after his dinner, he came out. And then, you know, the servant, Vrachandra Prabhu and others were distributing Mahaprasad. And, you know, one Brahmachari was sitting with a drone. So Maharaj had described in his lecture about how Raghunath Das Goswami would just be having one drone of buttermilk once in 3 days, leaf cup. So when he came out, he saw that drone. And he said, oh, the leaf cup of Raghunath Das Goswami. Wow. Renunciation. Like a renowned sadhu of Braj. Leaf cup. Then Maharaj looked inside the leaf cup. Inside the drone was pasta. So Maharaj saw that and said, oh, modern day Raghunath Das Goswami. So there is no expectation that we need to follow that standard of physical austerity. But what is definitely expected is the standards for absorption of the mind and the consciousness has not been decreased, saying that, okay, you can be distracted for 20 hours, 2 hours, try to absorb yourself. That has not changed. That has remained the same. And therefore, when Sita looked at that deer, that golden deer, and she became distracted by that deer, and she was telling Lord Ram, please, get it, get it, get it. And so Mahaprabhu also had one more associate, Kal Krishnadas. He was with Mahaprabhu, got distracted by Bhattaharis. Right? And the Bhattaharis took him away, and then Mahaprabhu had to become his servant and bring him back. And so, there are some modern scholars who say that, you know, the case of Bhattaharis taking away Kal Krishnadas was like the first case of conversion in India. You know, maybe they were some Christian missionaries or something like that. So all kinds of strange theories they have come up with. So Mahaprabhu brought him back, and then when he brought him back, again, the second person he was very heavy with in rejecting was Kal Krishnadas. What was his sin? Distraction. And then third person Mahaprabhu became heavy was Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Because in Vrindavan, everyone started saying, Krishna has come, Krishna has come, he is dancing on Kaliya. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya told Mahaprabhu, do you know Krishna is dancing on Kaliya? Mahaprabhu tada, gave him a slap. Well, what are you saying? So he got distracted by speculation. So therefore, when Sita, she looked at the golden deer and chased the golden deer and was insisting, I want it. So Lord Ram had to leave. And then finally, Ravana came and kidnapped Sita. So Vedanta Desika explains in one verse that when the jiva like Sita gets distracted from the service to Lord Ram and starts aspiring for other objects apart from seva to Lord Ram, even in the presence of Lord Ram. So Sita's distraction is similar to distraction of devotees staying in the temple where the deities are directly there. Sita had Ram in front of her eyes, we have Radha Krishna in front of our eyes. And therefore, if somebody is living in a remote place where there is no temple, this, that is still fine, it can be understood. But you had Krishna right in front of you, like Sita had Ram right next to her. Then one becomes distracted. Then what happens? The mind, in the form of 10-headed Ravana, 5 karmendriyas and 5 gyanendriyas, the mind will come and kidnap the jiva and put the jiva in the middle of the body of samsara, of Lanka, surrounded by the ocean of other desires, and Sita cannot escape, the jiva cannot escape. When the jiva is thus trapped, when the deities see this devotee is distracted, is not aspiring to attain me, even the Lord is confused. Because in a relationship, when somebody has a fight with you or somebody avoids you, you are confused. How do I repair the relationship? Should I go and talk to that person? Maybe they don't want to talk to me. So there is a relationship issue. So when Sita gets kidnapped by Ravana, Lord Ram is in confusion. Is it a case of Ravana? Is it a case of somebody kidnapping her? Or is it a case of Sita being frustrated and fed up with me and leaving me? Because both can happen. Wife is fed up with the husband and wants to leave. So we don't know what is going on. So in such a case, when you are not sure whether the other party wants a relationship or not, you cannot initiate the dialogue, because you are in a weak position, you are a party to that problem. And therefore, Lord Ram is dependent on a mediator. So the Lord depends on a mediator. When the Lord is confused, and when the Lord sees that this guy is standing in front of me but wants something else, oh, then somebody else has to mediate and tell him whether he's interested in me or not. That is where that person or those people who mediate between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord, in the sense trying to bring the Jiva's attention, which is distracted in different directions, and bring that Jiva to be absorbed in the Lord's service, they are the gurus. And guru basically does that mediation through sound vibration, and sound comes from the throat. And therefore Sugriva means one with beautiful throat, and the Vayuputra, Hanuman, is the carrier of the meaning of that sound. And therefore Sundar Kand is that chapter which demonstrates the beautiful effort of one trying to mediate between the Jiva and the all-attractive Lord. The Lord is all-attractive, but maybe the Jiva has become distracted by some other beauty of this world. So therefore the spiritual teacher wants to connect the Jiva to the all-attractive Lord, because the Lord is not very sure whether the Jiva wants to come to me or not. It is a state of great confused emotion on behalf of the Lord. And then when Hanumanji comes to Lanka, meets Sita and goes back and informs the Lord, she wants to come back with you, then the Lord provides full support and sends the whole army of those who appear to be monkeys, but those who appear to be human beings, but they are actually monkeys. Va Nara. So Nara means human being. Va means there is a doubt. Are they human being or monkey? Because monkeys behave like human beings many times. Or you can say human beings sometimes behave like monkey. When you go to Vrindavan, you are carrying a bag. Suddenly out of the blue, you lose it. The monkey has taken it away. Many years ago in our yatra, one devotee was purchasing watermelon, and there was thela gadi was filled with watermelon. And then he cut the watermelon and gave it to this devotee, and he held it in his hand, and the child was there, and gave it to the child's hand. Suddenly from the tree, one monkey jumped, dhadam, on the thela. And the monkey did like this, showing his fist, and put the other hand in front. The child got so bewildered, put the watermelon. The monkey took it, ran back, vasuli done. So the whole behavior appears to be exactly like human beings. They can shake you up. So Va Nara, are they human or are they monkeys? Like that, Sakshat Dharitvena Samastha Shastra Uktastathava Prateva Shadbi. Kintu Prabhoryar. So then, a pure devotee, a Vaishnava, appears to be human. Appears to be human, but he is not human. He is not monkey also. He is divine. He is divine. And therefore, Tomar Hrde Sada Govinda Vishram. So therefore, he is divine. Therefore, he appears to be Nara. Va Nara. But he is not. He is, because he is constantly jumping on the tree which is filled with the branches of the Vedic sound vibration. Shakha Mriga. So these monkeys, these Vanaras are Shakha Mriga, who are constantly moving in the various leaves and branches of the Vedic literature. They are absorbed in sound.
such an army of the Vaishnavas, when it moves forward, that army of the Vaishnavas can only save the conditioned soul from distraction. So therefore, the only hope the world has is when the army of the Vaishnavas comes and helps the distracted souls out of their situation. But if the army of the Vaishnavas become distracted, what is the hope? So therefore, that is a great challenge which we should remember, that Vaishnava does not mean just putting one tilak and dress and a name and a mala. A body of people, just like doctor doesn't mean just wearing a white coat and a stethoscope around the neck. If he doesn't follow his principles of medical science properly, he can kill. Similarly, when people see the tilak and the kanti mala and this and that, so they are representing the Vaishnavas, the army of the Vaishnavas. And the core job description of such an army of Vaishnavas is they have to be absorbed in Krishna. Because their task is to go and save the jiva who has been distracted from Krishna. If the doctor himself is distracted, how can he save? So therefore, that's how the army comes, Vanara Sena. And that's why Lord Ram is dependent, Lakshman is dependent on the Vanara Sena. So if the Lord himself is dependent on the Vaishnava army, how can any of us feel we are independent of the Vaishnava army? And therefore, that's the essence of how Ramayana is sharing such wonderful lessons with all of us on remaining absorbed in the principle of service to Krishna and understanding that even one moment of attention, distraction, can result in massive destruction. And how we need to be very careful. And therefore this entire, you know, institution with all the infrastructure and the books and the facilities and the procedures and the rituals and the language and the descriptions of the various activities happening is simply meant for one thing. Smartavyam satatam Vishnur vismartavyam najatachit. Sarve vidhi nishedasyur etayor evakinkara. It is simply meant to facilitate absorption and help us avoid the distraction. And here we find that Daksha, he was also very absorbed in his ego and he got distracted. He got distracted by the influence of his false ego and he could not tolerate Lord Shiva not respecting him. So even a practicing devotee becomes very agitated when he perceives this another devotee is not respecting me sufficiently. He does not know my full power and my glories. He is committing offense. I am Vaishnav. He is disrespecting me. He is committing Vaishnav aparad. So that thought we may consider to be very bona fide, but that comes in the category of distraction. Perceived disrespect is what got Daksha into trouble. So therefore, the methods by which different people get distracted is different. Sita got distracted in one way, Daksha got distracted in another way. And therefore, that is the difference between Daksha and Rupa Goswami. When that great scholar who came to Vrindavan, what is his name? Rup Narayan. He came and said, I am the Digvijay. You are defeated. He said, hey, bring your Vijay Patra. I am ready. Where I have to sign? Like here you sign that I accept defeat. Of course I accept defeat. And then Jiva Goswami became agitated. Hi, how did you? And Rupa Goswami said, hey, anything which is distracting us from seva, and if it is a conflict of respect and disrespect and prestige and this and that, it is non-Vrindavan spirit. And you are getting entangled in that jiva, go to the crocodile hole. Not once, twice he was sent. Both because he felt Jiva Goswami was getting, he was taking respect and disrespect too seriously. And therefore Rupa Goswami wanted to train him properly, that you have to rise above and do not allow this social considerations of respect and disrespect to distract you. If you allow it to distract you, you cannot deliver 400,000 verses to the world in future. And he trained him properly, such a way that never again Jiva Goswami, you know, got trapped by those concerns. And therefore, here, Rupa Goswami was completely absorbed and he would not allow disrespect to affect him. Daksha allowed disrespect to affect him. And that disrespect became the cause of his distraction. And that distraction became the cause of his destruction. So these are just a few thoughts on a verse which had one line purport. I don't even know what I'm supposed to speak. But maybe on the occasion of Ramayana, Ram Navami, we are discussing some Ramayana points. Any questions? So, right at the end of the class, there is bona fide distraction. Yeah, Adikesha Prabhu.
So, Lord Ram was very sure after he sent Hanuman that she's interested.
Sita, when Hanumanji came back.
Yeah.
With so the message.
Now you said that, you wanted to know that. So why after the war you wanted to again, about her chastity, you know, you should go for Agni Pariksha.
Oh, Agni Pariksha, oh that one?
Yeah, he told her, no, I should, he told Lakshman, go and tell her that. He lit the fire and said, you know.
Right. So, basically, Ram was another level of benchmark. You know, he's like strictness personified. So he wanted to make sure that the whole world sees him above all kinds of partiality and judgment. So he had this Maryada Purushottam role to follow. And because he was Maryada Purushottam, he wanted to make sure that not even a single thought has come in Sita's mind. Sita may have said to Hanumanji, I want to come back to Ram. Right? And the world, many people in the world have not gone to Lanka and they may feel, are Lanka accommodation was not good. And maybe the food was not good. Maybe Ravana was feeding her non-spicy. And so that's why she wanted to come. So the motivation why she wants to come has not been proven. Many people want to leave some place and go to another place. But there are hundreds of reasons why they want to do it. But within her mind, there was no other thought apart from seva to Lord Ram. And not a single thought of enjoyment here and there has entered. That could only be proved through that pariksha. Not based on what she has spoken to Hanumanji. Because I may have so many thoughts, but I may speak so many other things. So that's the reason why the Agni Pariksha was important. So everything was, you know, solemnized there. Okay? So, anyway, our Ananta Raghava Prabhu organizes a nice seminar called Digital Detox. And in Digital Detox, what they do is they make beds, small beds, and placed the small beds on the stage. And in the small beds, all those who are participants come and keep their smartphones for 2 days. The beds are made to rest the smartphones for 2 days. And then only after 2 days you can take it. Right? So people manage to do it? Or some people have too much agitation? Huh? Withdrawal symptom. Vipralamba. So therefore, you know, many times we may, because we are living in a society which is so massively distracted, and that distraction is considered as the dharma today. So we may not even realize what a Herculean task we have on our hands, that we are declaring a war against this distraction, and we are on a mission which is 180 degree opposite to the direction the world is going in. So it's not going to be an easy journey. So I'm just, today's discussion was simply to make us aware of the massive challenge on our hand, personally and as a society, for our personal spiritual journey and overall as a mission for a spiritual society which is trying to inspire everybody else to move from distraction to absorption. So it's not going to be such an easy journey, and we should be aware of the degree of the challenge which we are faced with. Any, yeah, somebody else had a raised hand here, yeah.
Hari Bolra. Prabhu, regarding the point that nothing should come in way of one's, whatever distracts one from service, that is of not much importance in terms of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami's, you know, the way they dealt with the scholar. But sometimes, like in the case of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami's, they are not just individuals, but they are also the institution itself, because we are all Rupanugas. So wouldn't that respect actually increase the following, and people would now access more what is presented by them? So somewhere, can you, do you think respect also plays a role, and you know, so what could be the balance between acceptance?
Oh, the equivalent to that is if, say, the government or a big corporate comes and says, you know, we want ISKCON's acknowledgement that we are doing good work in society in this particular direction here, and we say, okay, please take it. You know, if somebody is coming and asking some appreciation or acknowledgement from us, so we are willing to give, even today, to others. And that's, you know, something which we do it so that we are able to maintain our bhajan. So to protect ISKCON, certain types of collaborations we are doing even today. So that, you know, nobody has to compromise, nobody has to, you know, then suffer because of some other kinds of attacks. So what you are saying is that if Rupa Narayan was wanting a debate, and if Rupa Goswami had conducted that debate successfully, so Mahaprabhu has done it with Keshav Kashmiri. Mahaprabhu has done it with Keshav Kashmiri, but then he did it in a way that he maintained the respect of Keshav Kashmiri and later made him a full devotee. And in that sense, Rupa Goswami could have taken reference of Mahaprabhu defeating Keshav Kashmiri, and then so I must defeat Rupa Narayan. Right? But both were in different category. So Rupa Goswami did not take that reference. He said, you know, we have already renounced all of that thing. We are in the renounced order. So we don't want to get into that kind of a debate like that. So Mahaprabhu also defeated Prakashanand Saraswati. He debated Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. So it's not that he didn't do it. But for some reason, Rupa Goswami was, you know, his own tattva, and he didn't want to get into that because he just felt we have too much on our hand. So therefore, everything has to be understood in the context of the particular time, place, circumstance where the incident happens. You know, if suppose temple opening is tomorrow and somebody comes and says, I want a debate. Otherwise, you have to sign that I am a great soul. So what will I do? You are a great soul. Why? I have 100 other things to do. I don't have the time to waste on a debate now. It is useless. So Rupa Goswami must have weighed the pros and cons of what are the advantages of getting into a debate vis-a-vis and the place, which was Vrindavan, where Brahmaji was bewildered. So Rupa Goswami did not want to establish a principle of conquest by use of intellect in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a place where you can only conquer through humility and seva, not through intellectual prowess. Otherwise, there would be so many in future who would have wanted to come and also follow in the footsteps, and the whole mood of Vrindavan would have been disturbed. So the mission of Rupa Goswami was to protect and demonstrate Sri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. He understands the mood of Mahaprabhu more than anybody else. What is the mood of Vrindavan? So he wants to share the message. Once you enter Braj, keep your brain out. Rup Narayan has come with his brain as his main astra. It's no point. He has lost the point. He has missed the point. If Rup Narayan had invited Rupa Goswami in Delhi, maybe he may have had a, you know, debate. We don't know. Or Agra. But he chose to come to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is not a place where the intelligence is used as a tool for demonstrating superiority. Vrindavan is a place where all of us are nothing but speck of dust, insignificant. It is not a place to demonstrate significance. It is not a place to demonstrate superiority. It is not a place to defeat others using the intellect. So therefore, why Rupa Goswami did that in Vrindavan has to be understood in the specific context of Vrindavan and Brajbhumi. Right? That's very crucial. Otherwise, well, you have the annual drama festival. So, you know, you may not know that I have also acted in drama festival before. Only once. And the person who could convince me to act that time was Adhikeshav Das. So Adhikeshav Prabhu and myself, we acted in one drama. That was my first and last drama. So that was 1994, 1995, right? And he was like the actor come director for the drama. And what really bothered me was his practice session were too intense. For several hours he would insist on practice and everything. And one time when we were practicing, something went wrong. And then I started laughing. And he became very upset. Hey, this is very, very serious. We are here to please Maharaj and all the devotees. So I said, Are, thoda gadbad hota tha, public ko hi maja aata hai. He became even more offended. You don't understand the mood of the drama and this and that and everything. So he acted as Keshav Kashmiri and I acted as Lord Gauranga. And then, you know, then there was a big debate going on. That debate was about who will act as Saraswati, goddess Saraswati. So he said, so some lady was chosen that she will act as Saraswati. So I was like young, new brahmachari. He said, no. I said, what is the problem? She is not in the same scene or anything. She is not debating with you. I said, no, 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 no. It cannot be. I said, what is the problem? I said, you know, public will think that we are practicing together. And therefore, that is not good. So like he was totally bewildered by that. And then we got Stoka Krishna. He became Saraswati. Anyway, the video of that is still there with him. So that was a very interesting drama. When I remember Keshav Kashmiri, and then in fact we had some Ganga verses and everything, and I think he had memorized that perfectly. Mahaprabhu composing the Keshav Kashmiri composing those verses and speaking with the speed of the wind. So that was way back, almost 25 years ago. So now we are happy to have him at Govardhan Eco Village, and he's been appointed as the director for community health and culture for GV. And very soon we'll have more and more dramas and other things and festivals of various sorts being inspired by Adi Keshav Prabhu and Prem Lila Mataji, who have come here, and they are like the parents of the community. And let us express our gratitude and welcome to them. Hari Bol. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thay Gop Premanandi.